Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and happy Saturday, lovely Saturday afternoon to you here in lovely downtown Austin, Texas, and thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock right here high atop the Talk 1370 Right Choice Worldwide headquarters over in West Austin, looking down over those city of Austin and nary a cloud in the sky. Appreciate you joining us while you're probably out running around getting some spring cleaning done, starting your summer vacation, going to a little league game or something thereof to get some yard work done. And when you're interested, we appreciate you joining us. But when you're interested, be sure and check us out every day when you can, how you can, where you can at texasinsider.org. We post about 10 or 15 articles every day to keep you on the inside of Texas and national politics, or check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well, just at Texas Insider. If you go there right now, we've got a number of stories highlighted. Of course, we've got to talk about a number of things that happened this week. First foremost, we're going to be visiting with special guest Dennis Nixon, chairman and founder of IBC Banks, one of the finest bank proprietorships in the land, certainly here in Texas, based out of Laredo, Texas, about the Trump tariff win. Boy, we had a fear and concern in the nation on, but the our nation and the nation of Mexico on pins and needles here the last week after Donald Trump came out and said he was going to impose some tariffs to try to get Mexico to address some of the border security and the massive influx of immigrants coming from Central America. And lo and behold, he pulled a rabbit out of the hat here last night. We'll get into that a little bit. We've had D-Day happen this week. Our local congressman, Michael McCaul, some of you may know his dad was a bombardier during World War II. Michael McCaul was over there, and we got an article by him talking about how it's important that we not forget that generation and what it's about. We got Todd Hunter and Tan Parker talking about the legislative session, their state representatives from Corpus Christi up to North Dallas and Plano. We got the Democrats trying to figure out if they really want a candidate who looks like Bernie and Joe. That would be Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, two 75-year-old white guys, or if they're more interested in the Kamala Harris or the Cory Booker or the Julian Castro type. And then my favorite, finally, down toward the bottom there of the on the record column, is old Kevin Brady, congressman from Houston, who helped President Donald Trump write tax reform back when he was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. He's got a column we titled there, "Democrats Would Seemingly Chase a Straight Dog If It Led Them to Impeachment," which is what I'm going to start out here for a couple minutes before we get to Dennis Nixon with IBC Bank to talk about the tariff issue, because Kevin Brady raises a good point. And to keep you kind of at the influx and the impact point of where politics are at this point in the nation, I tell you, the big story of the week, folks, did you see how Nancy Pelosi said the other day that she'd rather see Donald Trump in prison then impeach him? And this type of thing, I think, is just what is getting Americans tuned out here as we go into the summer. But it is further evidence of the dysfunctionality in Washington. It's further evidence of the Trump derangement syndrome. And here we have a situation. It was a week ago, the last week in May, Some of you may have seen that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi actually said that she's praying for the president. And the quote was, quote, this is Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. I pray for the president, but hope his family does an intervention. So that was 2 weeks ago. And, you know, these Trump haters, these Russia, these investigations, I think the way to look at going into the summer politics right now, you're going to have some successes like we may or may not have had on this tariff solution, but this is going to be a nasty summer, folks. And I think it's because between Nancy Pelosi, the figurehead and the face of the Democrat Party nationally, and Donald Trump, the figurehead and the face of the Republican Party, they have clearly gotten in each other's heads, I think. Certainly on Pelosi's part, it's gotten personal, and I just don't see how they're going to be able to get anything done. But here you've got Nancy Pelosi. She meets every week with five committee chairmen. It's the five committee chairmen in the House of Representatives who have investigation power into the probes of Donald Trump and his administration. And evidently at this meeting on Tuesday, the quote she said is, I don't want to see him impeached. I want to see him in prison, him being Donald Trump. So how do they, on the one hand, claim that Donald Trump's unbalanced, mentally unhinged, or the like, and then on the other hand, they make these kind of comments? I think Americans are just going to be thinking this is another example of the hypocrisy that goes on. We remember that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer 10 days ago, they were going to go up to the White House and meet with the president on a critical, frankly, infrastructure initiative that they were going to try and get done this summer before the end of the year. And right before Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer go up to the White House, they hold a little press conference and they say that the president is engaged in a cover-up. So Trump kind of walks out of the meeting and things are going south fast. It's just curious. We'll get to some more politics toward the end of the show. I got to give a mention out, our own Susan Combs, former state rep, former comptroller of the currency. Some of you have been following Susan Combs' career. She was nominated by President Trump to be at a senior position. Let's see here. It was Assistant Secretary for Policy, Management, and Budget. And that is a big, big deal, folks, at the Department of Interior. She was finally confirmed on Wednesday, 57-36. Thank you, John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, for helping Susan Combs get over the goal line. She's been up there serving at this position because of the trouble it takes to get people confirmed sometimes. Once you get confirmed, it's a little bit different. If you're not confirmed, you can kind of go through the motions and the professionals at the agency will respect you. But now that she's confirmed, that's an even better thing. I saw a piece in the Austin Business Journal. Austin's nearing a milestone that only 10 other American cities can claim, and that's 1 million citizens. Austin added, according to the Census Bureau figures that came out last month, May 23rd, Austin added 12,500 residents between July 1, 17 and July 1, 18. So we're gaining population there. Apple came out and said that they have now 133,000 jobs in Texas that are related to their app stores and others. They employ about 6,200 here in Central Texas, ramping up to 7,000. And finally, folks, you can drive more peacefully now. The city of Austin announced the other day that they, after the legislature made red light cameras non-permissible, I guess I can say illegal, the city of Austin says that they have directed their vendor to cease red light camera enforcement as of Tuesday. Any traffic tickets or photos taken after June 1, 2019 shall be null and void. So there's a quick wrap-up of the week's events. Dennis Nixon, chairman of IBC Bank, is going to join us after the break. We're going to talk about the Trump tariffs and the border situation. Everybody knows we got a problem down there, but what a lot of people don't know is how much impact trade does for the state of Texas. And in fact, that Laredo just recently became the nation's largest port of entry. It's not even on a body of water. We'll be right back after this break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Suntan toes tickling the sand.
Oh, good job there, Dale, and a little Kenny Chesney coming back into the second quarter of the Texas Insider Show when the sun goes down and summer begins. And appreciate you joining us, folks, for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 1 o'clock right here on Talk 1370, The Right Choice. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org when you can. We post about 10 to 15 articles a week, keeping you on the inside of Texas and national politics, or follow us on Twitter at Twitter and Facebook at TexasInsider.org. And as I discussed during the first segment there, we've had a number of things going on this week, but none of them are bigger than what happened literally in the last 12 hours. And that has to do with the focus and the concern everybody had this week about whether or not Donald Trump's tariffs that were going to take effect Monday with the nation of Mexico, one of our nation's biggest trading partners and Texas's biggest trading partner for sure. And we're pleased to be able to visit today with IBC Bank, Dennis Nixon's founder and chairman of IBC Bank, and Dennis Nixon from Laredo, Texas. Appreciate you taking the time to call in and join us today.
Thank you, Jim. Jim, enjoyed your program and always enjoy visiting with you. And as you say, lots going on.
Well, you've been a leader, and I got to commend IBC Bank folks for their leadership in every community that they're in. Dennis, one of your mottos I know is "We Do More," and as a bank, that can mean a lot of things. You have your employees involved in nonprofit organizations, community organizations. We ran a story the other day that folks can see on Texas Insider by one of your executive vice presidents, Eddie Aldretti, was on Spectrum News here locally with Austin and Karina Kling. And one of the things that Eddie said, before we get into the dynamics of the border situation, I just got to talk about this tariff situation. Eddie Aldretti from IBC Bank said on a local Austin TV station the other day that of all the things Mexico exports to the U.S., they send them through 10 major ports. Six of those 10 are in Texas. Talk about the trade factor and what you see with this tariffs dynamic that's, thank goodness, been resolved in the last 12 hours.
Well, I think that the best way I could describe it, we came very close to the edge, I guess, playing with fire here, and we really got right to the furnace. I mean, it was very, very scary because the mechanics, too, of this process, it's one thing to have a tariff, but then you have to deal with all the mechanics at a border or crossing point or a point of entry to deal with that. And so our customs brokers community were going, you know, ballistic because it was announced and it was going to be effective so quickly. You have to change all of your pricing modules and all the kinds of things to deal with handling something like that. And they're just not prepared for that. And, you know, this is a free trade zone here. And basically most of the products that come across because of NAFTA and the agreements we have in place for 25 years are free. And that's what free trade's all about. And so one broker sent me a list. He said, look, if from May the 27th to June the 2nd, you know, five simple days, on my things that I process, my costs would go up from $109,000 in that period of time to $2.2 million in that
wow.
period of time. So you kind of see the that's with the 5%, and so you can imagine the 25 just multiply that times five. So the cost of this thing was just tremendous and not well thought out. And it's a different situation completely than we have with China and other parts of the world where we don't have this closeity. This is the reason why mm-hmm. Mexico, the United States, and Canada have been so successful, because during the NAFTA years, we've really integrated our supply chains and integrated our economies. You know, they're together now, and so it's like everything else. You've weaved a really nice quilt here, and you can't take it apart anymore like that. It just doesn't work like that anymore. And so, unwinding something is very difficult, and it's counterproductive. As I said, we're playing with fire here, and Mexico's also in a precarious position because of the change of government, and this progressive liberal government that's taken over Mexico has got the business community already deeply concerned. And we've seen, I think, the peso fell 3% just one day after these announcements. So there's just a lot of consequences that go on, and that's one of the things that I think we've all struggled with and had to deal with during the Trump administration, although I think Donald Trump's administration done a lot of good things for America and gotten us back kind of on track and eliminated a lot of those very negative rules and regulations in place. But, you know, when you're dealing with countries and different organizations, you've got all kinds of multifaceted thinking going on here. I think you have to be a little more thoughtful on how you approach things. And let's talk if we can.
We're visiting folks with Dennis Nixon, chairman and founder of IBC Banks across Texas, an industry leader based out of the city of Laredo, Texas, down right on the border. Dennis, you were good enough to have me down a couple of months ago to see the Washington's birthday celebration there in the city of Laredo, where the leaders from both sides of the river, Laredo and Nuevo Laredo, come across and meet literally on the center line. But a lot of folks won't know the extent of trade. It was announced the other day that Laredo became the largest port in the nation. Talk about, I know you have employees that work in the United States in your banks, but live in Mexico. Talk about the interrelation and tell us how tightly wound it is down there so folks can understand.
Yeah, I think it's just a microcosm of what's happened between the countries. I keep telling people, we have a sister city on every port. Every crossing point in the border, and ours happens to be Nuevo Laredo, New Laredo, and every city up and down the border has one. And we talk about the fact that we are one city in two countries. And so we go back and forth every day, just like you would do in Austin, going north and south, or if you cross Sladeburg Lake and go down Congress Street, cross the bridge there. It's about the same kind of situation here. And so when people think about building walls and shutting down the border, you know, we have 50-some employees in our system along the border that actually live in Mexico and work in the United States because they are U.S. citizens. They came from Mexico, and they may have a family member that's got a problem, and they come home and try to help them, or they chosen to come back to this part of the world and reside over there. There's all kinds of legitimate reasons, legal reasons why they live over there. It's like living on the south side of town versus the north side of town. And so they cross the border every day. And so, you know, when this whole thing with the asylum seekers got a fever's pitch, and they pulled all these CBP people off the border,
Customs and Border Patrol, not to interrupt you.
Yeah, those are the people who take care of the crossings here, what we call the trade and transit crossings. And people don't realize what goes on down here. I mean, we have 250,000 people that cross the border every day in Texas, every single day.
Wow.
In Laredo alone, 14,000 18-wheelers cross the border. And, we're very proud of the fact that we've become the largest port in America, you know, surpassing Los Angeles. And we were creeping up on them because our trade activities were growing at high single digits, low double digits every year for years and years. And so we were going to get them anyway. But, with the tariffs on trade in China, that dropped the import activity in the Los Angeles Long Beach area, and so we slipped by them quicker than we thought because of that problem. And I think we'll stay ahead of Los Angeles, and if we don't have more impact to our activities here, and one of the big problems is we do not have enough staffing, and we need to emphasize that in the strongest terms that the federal government has continued to fail to properly staff and man the commercial and transit activities at the border. These are people who are coming. Many of which come to Austin or San Antonio or Houston or Dallas, wherever they spend massive amounts of money and visitation and going to school and and all kind of own homes, own condos. Love to go to our beaches. South Padre is full of them. Spending money helping our economy grow every day. So why would we want to shut that down? So people who don't live in this state, you know, tend to be pretty cavalier about, oh, let's go build a wall, you know. Well, you know, wall is on a river that happens to be an amenity. It'd be like building a wall down Lady Bird Lake in Austin.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you...
Let me ask you, Dennis, we got 1 minute left. I don't want to paint you into a corner or anything, but you're a manager, you run a big operation, and it just, listening to you talk in 30 seconds or so, what do you think about President Trump's negotiating and his business operations with this whole tariff play?
Well, I think they could have accomplished the same thing by having meetings early. I was in Mexico here about 3 weeks ago, the mayor did up for a meeting with the chamber, and there was not even any talk of something like that. And so from my perspective, I don't know all the things going on in the background, so I don't want to condemn anybody out of hand, but I would have started off by calling my top people and their top people and sitting down in a room together and say, this is what we need to have happen. This is what we'd like to have happen. How do we cooperate to get it done? So instead of coming out of the public and creating all this enormous anxiety and all of these contradictory fights and arguments, it's all the toxicity that you described early on, Jim, in your pre-opening remarks, that we don't need that. I mean, why do we need all this beginning to, why do we need to slap first
and yes.
then start having this
Okay, it's called the Trump hurricane, and folks, we're going to continue talking to Dennis Nixon with IBC Bank. We got to take a break for the news at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and happy Saturday afternoon to you here in lovely downtown Austin. Great job there, Dale, and a little hold the line with Toto. That's exactly what we're talking about here. On this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show, I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock high atop the worldwide headquarters of Talk 1370, the right choice. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org, where we post about 10 or 15 articles every day, keeping you on the inside of Texas and national politics, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Texas Insider. We had about 105 new followers this week, and we're visiting today with somebody who knows what he's talking about when it comes to this tariff and South Texas economy and all the border trade and border security situation, and that's Dennis Nixon, the founder and chairman of IBC Banks, one of the finest banking institutions we've got here across the state of Texas. And Mr. Nixon, as we were talking about there during the first segment here of you calling in, there's these huge economic impacts that people don't realize. And I wanted to see if you could spout some statistics for us. People don't realize across the state of Texas how much interplay there is back and forth during, say, a manufacturing process for an automobile. Or I guess the avocado got a lot of attention this week because of the fact that avocados come across the Mexican-U.S. border. But talk about some of the economic dynamics that folks probably don't know about but yet are crucial to our state economy, if you can.
Well, the big one right off the bat, Jim, is that there's one in five jobs in Texas that tied directly to trade, and that's a big number in his, anybody's book.
Then
the big change too, I would suggest, would if you went back to 1992 in the beginning period of the NAFTA, and you look at the unemployment rates in Texas, and cities along the border were double digits and anywhere from 10 to 16%, and the statewide unemployment rate was 6, 7, 8, 9, and now if you look at these markets, they're all down in the threes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had 25 years of integration and success has come from this process. And if you look around the state and you look at all the things that are going on in the state, from energy all the way to manufacturing and distribution, it's all basically tied to Mexico. And Mexico is Texas's biggest trading partner, and Texas is the largest exporter in the country. State. And our exports are heavily committed to Mexico. And our imports are heavily committed to Mexico. So, you know, we have a big old Toyota plant down south of you there in San Antonio. And
yes, we do.
They said this tariff thing would have added to the cost of $1 billion.
Really?
And, there's thousands of jobs tied to that plant, mm-hmm. as a direct example. And that plant is totally dependent upon the supply chain that's been developed, bringing parts and components into Texas, and that car being, that truck being, in this case, assembled there and then distributed all across the country. So they're just example after example of that kind of thing going on. That's been, and everybody's seen it, but they don't realize it because it's grown over 25 years, and it just shows up everywhere. Like you mentioned, avocados. Mm-hmm. I mean, we take avocados for granted today, and we never had that kind of access to the wonderfully buttery avocado from Mexico compared to the avocados you get from California or Florida. And tomatoes, another thing, they put that big tariff on tomatoes here a few weeks back, and we haven't been able to get that taken off. And that supplied us with wonderful fresh tomatoes, year round, because of the opportunity to grow tomatoes down there year round. And so there's just so many things that we're now taking for granted that have grown on us, come into our system, and we've got used to them, and we just take them as everyday activity of what we do, live, and work with. So the only way you find out about these problems is if something like that gets shut down.
Yeah, and you mentioned,
you say, well, what happened to my avocado?
Right, and you mentioned before, yeah. Folks, we're visiting with Dennis Nixon, president and chairman of IBC Banks down in Laredo. You mentioned before, Mr. Nixon, about the fact that I think you said there's 14,000 18-wheelers coming across the bridges in Laredo every single day. That, to me, is just phenomenal. How is that even logistically possible down there?
Yeah, it's on a fine schedule. you know, if you ever get behind an 18-wheeler at a stop sign or stoplight, you know how long it takes them to get going. So
right.
The whole logistic process of moving those trucks in a constant stream. So you can just imagine if you reduce the number of people to clear those trucks every day, and that adds, 1 or 2 or 3 minutes to the process, and you've got 10,000 or 14,000 of those trucks. You had 14,000, 16,000, 18,000, 20,000 minutes. So we had truck drivers that were sitting in line here for 9, 10 hours. They didn't have any place to go to the restroom. They didn't have any place to get water. They were, in some cases, they weren't prepared.
You run out of gas in 10 hours.
Yeah, you run out. You do. And the transit people coming up here, say from Monterey, that expected to go to Laredo and then maybe on to San Antonio and Austin, mm-hmm. for the Holy Week, got caught in traffic for 6, 7 hours, and they weren't prepared for it with young children and families in the cars and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then now we're coming up in the summer. So you can imagine sitting out in an automobile in Laredo, Texas, Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, at 105, 110 degree temperatures for 6 or 7 hours at a time to cross the border. It's unseemly to be, mm-hmm. and just frankly unfair. We're very worried about the asylum people, but what about all the people who are being affected by the activities that we've had to undertake with the asylum people?
Well, go ahead.
What frustrates me the most, Jim, is that we're pointing the finger at Mexico. You do more of it. Why hasn't Congress passed the laws
exactly
and changed the laws that require us to do all these things that are 20 and 30 and 40 years old,
yep.
that don't address the current circumstance? But yet we're blaming everybody else for this problem.
Amen. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about that a little bit, because Donald Trump, even bless his heart, he's been blaming Mexico for a problem that they can't solve. And that's what you're talking about, is our own asylum policy. I got a get you to talk about, because you've been involved in this issue for decades. You've even come out with a white paper, so to speak, that's actually a beautiful brochure called Common Sense Border Security Solutions from Dennis Nixon. I'm holding in my hand. And Mr. Nixon, some of the things talking about this that seem most doable, that is, the, like you say, the frustrating thing, two of the proposals you have here, and let's talk about this, is just clearing up all the carrizo cane and the forestation along the border. But most importantly, why doesn't Congress pass and do something to get us more judges down there so that we can clear these cases through? Talk about your common sense border security solutions, if you can, a little bit.
Yeah, we've been fighting the building of walls on the border, because I know each one of us, you know, thinks that that's probably a reasonable thing to do, because we don't like our neighbor. We just build a fence and we block them off.
Right.
But down here, the Rio Grande is our river. It's our Lady Bird Lake. It's our Colorado River, and we don't want it blocked off from view, because it is historic and culturally a huge part of South Texas. It's got a Western romance to it and all the kinds of things that you think about, and it's a real river. So our view has been to clean it up, get all this underbrush off of it, the carrizo cane and salt cedar that basically kill in the river, and it's consuming a third of our water. And we think that, hey, this is an economic benefit. We can clean up the river, increase border security by magnitudes, and we gain all this water that we need to support all this growing communities along the river. So how do you lose in a situation like that versus building a wall that's nothing but a barrier and a mess? And the Border Patrol themselves admit that scaling a wall has been a 6 to 8 to 9 second activity.
And you clean it up and make it look like a park, then the Border Patrol folks would be able to monitor it and see what in the world's going on.
Absolutely. And then all your technology works better, because it's not interrupted by any kind of a brush or any kind of undergrowth or anything. And then at night, you have access, because I wouldn't go down on that river hunting for an illegal or drug dealer in the middle of the night down there where you can't see anybody and get yourself killed or knifed or some other very harmful thing. So, I mean, all the benefits of safety, all the benefits of access, all the business benefits of response. We've talked about building all-weather roads along the river. We've got an area between Laredo and Eagle Pass where there's no road.
Really?
To 55 miles there that could be paved and create spawn site. We tried to get the Texas legislature to take that on, and we got a bill all the way up to the Senate, and it all died because, you know, fighting over spending money to so-called border security. We said, what's a better border security process than building this road? And then that road provides economic support.
Yes.
You get payback. You don't get payback for a wall.
And how about the judges? You've said that and some people will hear in the news every now and then that it takes years for these asylum seekers to get processed. Talk about your ideas on the judges.
Well, over 1,000 days to have a hearing before an immigration judge. We need 400 or 500 more of them. The Border Patrol has been crying for that for 2 or 3 decades.
Mm-hmm.
That was always the problem when we were primarily seeing Mexicans coming across. Now we're dealing with OTMs other than Mexicans. The Mexican migrant has basically disappeared. We are now dealing primarily with Central American migrants coming in from Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador and those areas, because of the hardships and the problems that are going on down there. And quite honestly, I think driven by the fact that our asylum laws are so weighed against us as
a nation. Absolutely.
In terms of their terms and conditions. We've got to give these people a hearing. When Mexicans were coming, we just could turn them back, send them right back. These people from Central America, because of the flaws in the law, we have to give them due process, and we have to give them a hearing. And they get to stay here. So they get processed. They have to be released in the economy within 20 days.
Okay.
And then they have to come back for a hearing, and those hearings don't come forward for 1,000 or 1,500 days.
Okay, Dennis, we got to take a commercial break. Can you stick with us for another couple minutes by chance?
Sure.
Dennis Nixon with IBC Bank. Folks, we're going to take a commercial break right here on the Texas Insider Show. We'll be right back to talk more about the southern border, tariffs, and border security on Talk 1370.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, folks, and thanks for joining us this beautiful Saturday afternoon for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. We're into the fourth and final quarter here of this week's program and able to visit with Dennis Nixon from IBC Banks, one of the premier financial institutions in the state of Texas. And Dennis, I'm sorry to have to cut you off there before we went to the commercial break while you were making the point about asylum and judges down there, but let me ask you one final question.
That's the business.
Yes, sir. Let me ask you one final question, then I'll let you go, and I got to talk about a couple other things here to wrap up. But it occurred to me, you're involved with the Texas Bankers Association. You're a respected industry leader, not only in the state of Texas, but across the nation. And I got to mention, folks, we did publish Mr. Nixon's Common Sense Border Security Solutions on Texas Insider last year. Appreciate you letting us do that, Dennis. If folks will go to Texas Insider and just type in Nixon in the search box, they'll get a full complement of your ideas there. But as a business leader, let's talk politics. You see this tit for tat back and forth, whether it's Donald Trump on the international tariff stage or more particularly with Congress in the petty back and forth. It's degraded down to name calling. What do business leaders think of the current political situation in this nation right now?
Well, most of the people that we all see, and I think every citizen out there, it becomes almost like childish. We think it's, and I'm sure you feel the same way, that there's a lot of business to be done in this country, a lot of things we need to solve. You know, we do have an immigration problem. We've had four presidents that haven't solved the immigration problem. I mean, why? We've got all kinds of issues with infrastructure, health care, all these important issues that we're dealing with every day. And we thought we sent adults up there to deal with adult matters and so have adult solutions, and we sent children.
Well,
and unfortunately, it's sad to me as a person who runs a business with 3,500 people that we work with every day that their futures are dependent upon the toxic environment of Washington, D.C., and the absence of leadership in some of these issues in Texas. I mean, we can't afford to have the federal government run over Texas. We had that happen in the banking industry in my early years of banking.
Yes, we did.
We used to be the financial capital of banking for the South, and where is that now? It's in California, and it's up on the East Coast.
Yep.
They closed all our big banks, and so we can't allow the Washington bureaucrats and the people up there to dictate what we know is the right thing to do in Texas. And so one of those right things is to maintain our partnership with Mexico, maintain our partnership with Canada, find solutions by getting around the table and working through the issues and stop this toxic political process that's killing this country.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a national debt that nobody even talks about anymore.
That's right.
I mean, what happened to the discussions about $22 trillion of debt? Who's going to pay that? Our children are going to pay that. That's just deferred taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Those bills will come due at some point. And with the demographic issues that I've talked to you about a lot, we're running out of people.
We're not having enough babies.
That's right. The Fed says we need the next 20 years, over 50% of the workforce is going to come from immigrants. So we better solve this immigration problem. We better have legislative solutions to the asylum problem. We better have legislative solutions to the immigration problem, or we're going to be in tough shape. And I've predicted between now and 2030, this world is going to change totally, because what's happening every day? 10,000 baby boomers are retiring every day. We've had the great honor to watch the last few days of these heroic soldiers that landed in Normandy.
Yes, we
They're all dying off. 300 of them a day, they're going.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest people on earth that ever lived, and they're disappearing from our society. The same thing's happening to the children of those people, the baby boomers.
How about Dennis?
Get our act together.
Yeah, how about give us one final thought, because I know you do travel to Washington frequently. You're friends with folks in the White House and some of our congressmen and women up in Washington. But maybe on this idea to have more judges, immigration judges, is there anything, any possibility of something, small steps being addressed on the horizon that you know of? Are you optimistic or still, or is it
no,
still
not
fair?
No, because of the toxicity that you described, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
I think nobody listens up there, and that's why they why they gave us two ears and one mouth.
Yes.
Is that we were supposed to listen more than we talk. And
Amen.
So they don't listen to anybody. They don't listen to anybody. A lot of patronizing. You got to go back time and time and time to move the needle.
Yep.
No serious listening to people on the ground. And I tell people, I said, to be on the border is like watching a war on TV and being in a war.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the people in the war are the ones that really know what's going on. So if I went to Donald Trump and told him how to build a building in New York, he'd call me an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he, why do they feel that they can come to the border and not listen to the people who live and work down here and find better solutions to these problems than we have?
Well,
they don't listen to anybody.
It's a tough, tough nut, but we appreciate your efforts and hard work to push that needle. And Dennis Nixon with IBC Bank, we appreciate your insights and sharing them with us today, and we hope you'll come back in the future to share some more ideas.
Well, we appreciate your involvement. If you're not involved, you're going to leave it to the people who are. And so we know what kind of bad results we get with that.
We appreciate you. Come back and talk to us soon, Dennis.
Thank you, Jim. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, Dennis Nixon with IBC Bank. Like I said, be sure and go to TexasInsider.org, type in Nixon in the search bar or the search box in the upper right-hand corner. Got some great ideas from his white paper called Common Sense Border Security Solutions. And I tell you, folks, this border security problem, as we were talking about, it's been something, I don't know, frankly, if it'll ever be solved in our lifetimes. We've got to, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste is an old political adage. And to some extent, that's been used when Donald Trump made a crisis here the last week or so, saying he was going to implement a tariff on trade with Mexico, impacting Texas and impacting the nation. And lo and behold, Mexico has come around and they're going to start putting 6,000 border troops on their southern border to stop people coming from the South American angle. They're going to be agreeing to hold immigrants that do make it to the Texas border instead of us having to house them. They're going to be responsible since they're coming from Mexico from housing them. But it's something else. I just don't know in this day and age whether there's the political will. And in the meantime, we're going to have a lot of cheap, frustrating entertainment because it's just a problem that's never ending. I got to change the subject and talk a little bit more. In my opening segment, we talked a little bit about some of the things, and I'm just watching the tube here on the Talk 1370 television inside the studio about how Donald Trump's now calling Nancy Pelosi ineffective and vindictive. And what he's doing is responding to Nancy Pelosi's comments earlier this week, where she told some of her committee chairmen, there's five committee chairmen that are in charge of the investigative committees in the House of Representatives, and evidently they get together once a week and see how everybody's doing to try and impeach Donald Trump or haul his tax records and all of his White House staff into Congress to be testifying, as if that's the biggest problem in Russia. Russia and Robert Mueller haven't decided things. But Nancy Pelosi said the other day, I don't want to see him impeached, being Donald Trump. I want to see him in prison. And it's going to continue this summer, folks. I think we're going to continue to see a degradation and more Trump syndrome and Trump derangement syndrome and little done up in Washington. But the interesting thing that I haven't mentioned that happened this week, did y'all see where old Joe Biden, he's leading in the polls, and I'm going to close with this, giving you a state of the Democrat Party race, because we've got a Democrat Party debate coming up here before the end of the month. Believe it or not, there's 24 Democrat candidates, and believe it or not, they're already starting to have debates. Here we are 18 months away from the 2020 presidential election, and old Joe Biden's leading the pack because he's looked at as being somebody who can attract independent voters, maybe even some Republicans, and that he's maybe a candidate who's cut from the old traditional cloth where we don't have to go to the extremes. And he's had this position that he's had for 40 years that he's been in Congress. 1986 on abortion, Joe Biden said, I don't think it's the government's business. And if it's not the government's business, you don't prescribe your right to have an abortion, and you don't take your money of the taxpayers to assist someone else to have an abortion. Well, that has really come under the microscope, and we're going to start seeing there's two or three phases of this Democrat race that we're seeing, just being in the first one, and that's where everybody announces we're about to move with these debates into the second phase where they start attacking one another. And old Joe Biden came under attack for his position on abortion. And we've talked about it before. There is no middle ground on our far left and in today's Democrat Party. And the party levers that operate at the Democrat National Committee. If you have any other position other than having espoused your beliefs that abortion right up to the point of birth is a woman's right, and it just kills me. How can we go to a point in this country where if I stab a child in a mother's arms walking down the street, it's called murder, but if we stab a baby in the womb, it's called a choice? And Joe Biden has had that position that we shouldn't pay for, use federal dollars, use taxpayer dollars for paying for abortions. That's called the Hyde Amendment. You're going to be hearing more about that probably, and it's been around since 1976 when abortion and Roe v. Wade became legal, that the states can help pay for some of that, although that's under attack these days. But now Joe Biden's flip-flopped. I think he would have been better if he'd stayed where he was, because people are now going to question his sincerity. He's going to be attacked that he's not a leader, that he's subject to pressure, that he's subject to outside influences, and that he's not the centrist truth teller that he staked his campaign. So it's more evidence of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and we'll see. Check out TexasInsider.org. We've got some articles up there, a fascinating article entitled, Do the Democrats Really Want Somebody That Looks Like Bernie and Joe? And then let the campaign season begin. Well, we're going to have to give it a rest and put a plug in the jug, as we often say right there, and let you get back to your Saturday afternoon. Remember, we're here every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 1 o'clock, the Texas Insider Show. Be sure and check us out at TexasInsider.org or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Texas Insider. And have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.